264-4905 is the number to get at us tonight. All the sorts of ways to get involved, you know the drill. Twitter.com/SOTW_show. If you want to tweet at us during the show, we'll be right here. Also, want to get involved also at facebook.com/sportsoutthewazoo. Tons of ways to get involved. Also, SOTWshow@gmail.com if you want to send us an email. Brandon, once again, another great weekend of football, college, and NFL. We'll get started with the college ranks. We had a game at home this weekend against the Mocs, a very tough, testy, gritty Mocs team that gave the Apps all they could handle. For the better portion of the second and third quarters, it seemed to be the first and fourth quarters that really gave the Mocs fits. And at the end of the day, they didn't have what it took to win that game.
Well, it was a story of turnovers was what it really was. Four turnovers by the Mocs, three by the Mountaineers. And three of them came in the first quarter from the Mocs side. And that really set up all 21 points
yeah,
of Appalachian.
21 points.
And so really it looked like the offense was just exploding. When you're up 21-0 at the end of the first quarter, you got to think, okay, well, we're doing something right offensively. But it was really the defense that set up a lot of that stuff. DJ Smith returned an interception to the 2-yard line, which a couple plays later was run in by Armani Edwards. And then the second and third quarter came about, and Armani threw two picks. We also had a fumble, and the tide kind of changed. And then Chattanooga made the best of our turnovers. And then the fourth quarter came about, and then you saw another turnover again by the Mocs, this time by B.J. Coleman, his third interception on the day.
Yeah.
And then that really set up another score. And then Devin Moore was able to cash it in on yet another run. So really, it was a story of turnovers. The offenses on both sides looked really bad. The defenses really stepped up on both sides.
The thing that stood out to me really was the third quarter, especially after halftime, because, yeah, Armani didn't play well in this game at all. He didn't play bad. He just didn't play. I mean, he did play bad by his standards. Not terribly bad. He's due a bad game every now and then. He is human, so we'll talk about that a little bit. But the third quarter, when they came out of the half, and they decided to run an onside kick, recovered it, ended up scoring a field goal off of it. Then they run another onside kick the second possession, get a touchdown off of that one. 10 unanswered points off of 2 onside kicks, and really, it would have been careless and reckless on Coach Moore's part to put his hands team out there. You would never expect that sort of thing. And quite honestly,
and that's why it was the perfect strategy.
And I think also the risk reward factor was quite marginalized when you look at Chattanooga, when you could say, hey, look, this ASU offense is number one in the country. This team will score from 99 yards. They'll score from 2 yards down on the other side of the field. Let's go for it. If we get it, we get the ball back. If not, they're going to score anyway. So spotting them yardage really wasn't that big of a deal. Ended up being a huge momentum shifter. At the end of the day, you have 4 turnovers yourself. You're not going to win a lot of ball games, especially against the number one offense in the country. So Apps win 35-20 on Saturday, setting up what is now being called a de facto. There's not a real true Southern Conference championship game, but a de facto Southern Conference championship.
This is for all the marbles.
Yeah.
This is it.
A de facto Southern Conference championship game down in Burlington on the campus of Elon. Elon taking on the Mountaineers on Saturday. And joining us right now, we're going to talk to Steve Cheek. He's a blogger and writer for SouthernPigskin.com. You can find him on the old North State blog on SouthernPigskin.com. Steve, thanks for taking the time to join us. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
No problem.
Thanks for coming on.
I know you've got a column coming out tomorrow, I do believe, on this Elon ASU game. And to me, what stands out to my mind, this has been the storyline, what seems to be the past 3 years. 3 years ago, it was Elon. 2 years ago, it was Elon. Oh, they're a team on the rise. They're going to be a better team, but they really didn't do anything. Last year, it was, oh, this team has arrived. But when they came up here to Boone, they didn't have what it took at that time to win a Southern Conference championship. Do you see that changing as you look at this game playing out next week?
Well, I don't know if I see it changing, but I think the difference in this year's Elon team and the past few Elon teams is defense. All of a sudden, they found a defense. You know, I called them in the past the Texas Tech of the Southern Conference. You know, they could score a ton of points, but, you know, they lose games 48-34, you know. And all of a sudden this year, Elon's found a defense and managed to stop people. I'm really excited about this game this weekend. And, you know, if you think about North Carolina as a whole, in the FBS side, you got number 7 Georgia Tech coming to Duke. You got number 12 Miami coming to UNC. You got number 24 Clemson coming to NC State. And I think App State Elon's the biggest game in the state. So, I mean, it's great for the Southern Conference. It's great for FCS football.
Well, I want to elaborate a little bit more on what you just said, saying that their defense is better. Statistically, it's ridiculous how good this team looks on paper. I think they're averaging right at around 11.5 points a game. I mean, those are video game numbers on the defensive side of the ball. But when I look at their schedule and I see it littered with Davidson, Presbyterian, a bad Georgia Southern team, a Furman team that they played close, 19-12. Citadel, who's up and down every week, and Wofford, who's battered with injuries. Same thing with Western Carolina. I mean, has this team really been tested yet this year? Do we know how good they really are?
Well, you could definitely make an argument that they haven't. I think, you know, I'll give them credit where credit's due. I think they've shown that they can stop people when they need to. There's no doubt that Pete Limbo's done a really good job of building up that Elon program. I mean, what's their history? I mean, I think it's pretty safe to say this is the biggest game in Elon's football history, whereas App State's been there before. You know, Appalachian knows about these type of games. They've played in these type of games. So, you know, we'll see this Saturday if they've been tested or not. I think statistically, like you said, they definitely are showing it on paper, but they really haven't been there in the past. I kind of liken this game to maybe like an Oklahoma State, Texas. You know, Oklahoma State looks great on paper. Then they come and they face the big boy, and all of a sudden they get shut down when the primetime lights come on. So I guess we'll just have to see this weekend.
Well, you know, when you talk about that good Elon defense, on the other side, they also got a good Elon offense in Scotty Riddle and Terrell Hudgens. What is the key to really stopping that? Because if you look at it, a lot of great combos in the Southern Conference, but that's probably got to be the top one, and that's a big key to their offense.
Well, I don't think you really can stop Hudgens. I think he's proved it pretty much every game. You know, he goes out against Wake, and while Elon got smacked by Wake Forest, he still had a 100-yard game and a touchdown. I think what you got to do is you got to shut down their other weapons. I mean, the running back scored 3 touchdowns last weekend. So if you can limit him and you can shut down all their other weapons, that's where you can probably get Elon in trouble.
Steve, I want to talk to you for just a second about Terrell Hudgens a little bit and Armani Edwards, because to me, when I look at these two players at their respective positions, pound for pound, they're two of the best college football players in the country, period. Do you think both of these guys really deserve some legitimate candidacy for the Heisman Trophy?
Well, I think, you know, let's see. In the past, we had, what, McNair make it all the way up to number 3 in the Heisman voting, and then I think back in the 80s, guy from Holy Cross made it up to number 3 in the Heisman voting. You know, I do think they deserve some publicity and some consideration for the Heisman, because the Heisman is for the best player in college football. And what frustrates me about the voting, it's become the best player on the best team in college football. And that's not the way it used to be. You know, there are a lot of Heisman Trophy winners that played on mediocre to maybe, I'm not going to say bad teams, but teams that weren't championship contenders. And now all of a sudden it's, oh, we can only vote for the best quarterback or running back from the best team in the FBS. And I think that's kind of a distortion of what the trophy was meant for. You know, if you look at the statistics, I think it's hard to argue that, you know, Edwards, I can guarantee you, as someone who went to Carolina, I would love to have Armani Edwards as the quarterback for the Tar Heels. You know, so the fact that he is just immediately swept aside because of he doesn't play in the Football Bowl subdivision, I think it's pretty ridiculous.
Do you think players the caliber of Terrell Hudgens, of Rodney Landers, of Armani Edwards, the guys that are putting up a lot of these ridiculous stats, do you think this changes the landscape of how Heisman voting, you know, is impacted?
Well, you know, what frustrates me is that the mainstream media doesn't pick it up, and that's why I'm so glad that a game of, you know, this magnitude is being played this weekend, and I think it'll get some publicity. You know, too many of you read ESPN.com, and, you know, they don't even cover a lot of the FCS teams, and it's frustrating because there's a lot of good football being played. I think nationwide, in the college level, in the pro level, everyone's worried about the prototype, you know, the right height, the right weight, and we're forgetting that, you know, you may not meet those measurements, but you're a playmaker, and I think that's exactly what you got in guys like Hudgens and guys like Edwards. You got guys that win games and are the guys you want on your team. They may not be the tallest, they may not be the strongest, but they're the Doug Fluties, you know. They're the guys that are there when the game's on the line and you want them to have the ball in their hands. And I hope people take notice of it.
Steve, I don't know about you, but I'm a Panthers fan. I've grown up in Charlotte, so I follow the Panthers very closely. I know there's a quarterback situation brewing there. I look at Armani Edwards, I see how his delivery is, I see his skill set, and like you said, he might not be the tallest, he might not be the strongest, but he reminds me of a guy like Steve Smith, a guy that's always been told how small he is, how weak he is, he's not good enough to do this, he's not good enough to do that, and at the end of the day, that only drives him to be better. Does Armani Edwards kind of fit into that mold, and do you think he could be a successful quarterback in the NFL?
You know, I definitely think he fits in that mold. You get that chip on their shoulder, and guys that are players like Edwards, you know, are out there to prove it. Steve Smith's, you know, a perfect example. You know, I can't say that I'm a scout. You know, I've not been in that position. I don't know if Edwards projects. You know, I know he doesn't project as a quarterback by the measurements, but I don't know if he, you know, he has what it takes to be a quarterback. That they said the same thing about Doug Flutie in the NFL, and, you know, look what he did. You know, if I'm the Carolina Panthers and I'm struggling with the football, you know, the quarterback situation like I am, I would love to have a guy that's done nothing but win, you know, and that's Armani Edwards. He's done nothing but win his 4 years in Boone.
Well, Steve, as you mentioned earlier, a lot of games going on in the state of North Carolina this coming weekend. And among them, though, this past weekend, a big matchup. A lot of people wouldn't think that when you're talking football that this would be a key rivalry now between Carolina and Duke, as Duke's kind of come onto the scene as a football program. They really improved over the last few years, which is a testament to their coaching staff. But when you look at that game, what do you see from Duke's side that's really changed as far as their philosophy on the coaching side or talent wise?
Well, I think they made the commitment to hire a head coach. Duke had tried several iterations in a row of hiring a career assistant, and when you got a program like Duke, that you're a small private school, you're not going to get the biggest and the best players. You need someone who can out-scheme the other team. You need a guy that knows how to win games and has been there, and that's what they got in David Cutcliffe. They got a guy that is a quarterback guru, and now all of a sudden quarterback recruits around the nation are looking at Duke, of all places, because they want to come play for the coach that coached the Manning brothers. They finally made the commitment, and as a result, they're starting to see the fruits of their labor. I think we're just in the first, you know, the first few years of the turnaround at Duke. It's like an aircraft carrier. They've been losing for so long that it's hard to turn that ship around. But I really think they got a bright future in front of them. Now, Duke football's not going to win the national championship. They're not going to, you know, be competing with Alabama and Florida. But there's no reason that program can't win 6-7 games in a year, especially in a conference like the ACC that is wide open. I mean, if Wake Forest can win the ACC championship, Duke can win the ACC championship. So the fact that Duke football is actually relevant again is a good thing for football in North Carolina and the ACC in general. And David Cutcliffe's the reason that they're finally winning games.
You're listening to Sports Out the Wazoo. Brandon Dixon and Chris Kroger hanging out with Stephen Cheek, writer and blogger for SouthernPigskin.com. You can find him on the old North State blog. He'll probably be heading down to Burlington, like much like the rest of us watching ASU and Elon this weekend. And, Stephen, we'll keep talking a little ACC football right now. The ACC, to me, is such an intriguing conference. Week to week, I can't decide if it's terrible, I can't decide if it's mediocre, if there's so much parity, or if just nobody wants it enough. In your opinion, what's going on with that league, and what's the real state of that conference?
Well, I think Duke's kind of a microcosm for it. I think in the past you had mediocre coaching. You had, proven by the NFL draft, some good players. I mean, the ACC's put more guys through the first round of the NFL draft over the past 4 years than any other conference, and that's kind of amazing when you think of the behemoth that is the SEC right next door. But you had guys like John Bunning at Duke, or John Bunning at Carolina, and Ted Roof at Duke. Good men, probably really good football coaches on the assistant level, but, you know, they were given years to make it happen at both their schools, and they just couldn't do it. Chuck Amato was kind of a flash in the pan at NC State, and Tommy Bowden had, what, 10 years at Clemson, a school that puts all of its resources behind football, and he couldn't get it done. Now you've got guys that are starting to make a difference. I mean, there's no doubt that Butch Davis knows how to win football games. David Cutcliffe knows how to coach.
Well, you know, with the ACC getting so young, especially the last few years, a lot of teams getting a lot younger. You see a big youth movement, especially when you look at Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech, Miami especially. Who stands out to you right now as the premier team of the ACC? Because I think that's kind of gotten lost the last few years because, you know, with Virginia Tech and everybody being added, those were supposed to be the premier teams, and now it's just kind of there's so much parity in it. Who is the premier team in the ACC?
And it looks like we might have lost Steve. We'll try and get him back on the line. You're listening to Sports Out the Wazoo. Brandon Dixon and Chris Kroger talking to Stephen Cheek of SouthernPigskin.com, writer for the Old North State blog on that website. We'll try to get Stephen back if we can. Stephen is going to be heading down to Burlington. We actually got him on the line right now. We'll try and get him back on here in just a second. But big ASU-Elon matchup this weekend, what people are calling the de facto Southern Conference championship game. But we're talking a little ACC football right now on Sports Out the Wazoo. And Brandon, I'm with you. I think that when you look at the ACC, it's such up in the air in terms of who is the best team, who is that elite team. It's hard to say right now. It looks like it's Georgia Tech. They've kind of overtaken Virginia Tech, maybe for just this year, but they appear to be the better team.
And that's really the key. And I think we have Steve back online. Do we have Steve back online? Steve, are you there?
All right. We'll have to get Steve back
on the
line. We'll
have to get back to him again. But, that's exactly my point, is that Boston College, Virginia Tech, these two teams were brought into the ACC to provide more competition, make this a power conference, beat out all the SEC talk as the football conference. And really all it's done is add more parity, because now they just beat each other up. And, you know, that's what the whole mindset was behind the SEC, was because so many of these teams were just going to beat each other up. But now you see more of the premier teams kind of shaking out. And you got to think that this is going to be the way the ACC is going to shake out, with all these teams getting so much talent, fighting for all this talent. Eventually there's going to be the premier teams, just like there is in the SoCon, between App and Elon and so many other power conferences. But I think we have Steve back on the line. Steve, are you there?
Yeah, I'm back here. Sorry about that, guys.
No, it's okay.
Oh, it's all right. We were just talking. What I was trying to ask earlier was with all this youth in the ACC, you see it in teams like Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech even, and especially Miami. You see all these young teams kind of rising up to the top, especially in the BCS rankings. Who is the premier team now for the ACC? Who's the face of the ACC as the power team?
Well, I think you got to give Georgia Tech credit, and they're not going to be they're not going to recruit the best talent in the country. But the brilliance of Paul Johnson's system is that he doesn't need it. He doesn't need to win the recruiting rankings. He needs role players that will fit his system, and you're seeing it right now. He's just running over people with that option attack. You know, he won games at the Naval Academy with players that, you know, that wouldn't get offers to the FBS school, you know, the major conference schools, and now he's at Georgia Tech. He can install his system with big time talent, and you're seeing the fruits of his labor right now. I really don't think there's any way Duke beats him this weekend, and the way Georgia's playing, I don't think anyone's going to beat Georgia. Georgia's going to be able to beat Georgia Tech. I think his major liability right now is his defense, and once he can fix that defense, you know, Georgia Tech's going to be winning a lot of ACC championships and maybe even contending for the national title.
Steve, real quickly before we let you go, I want to know, who do you think is going to win the ASU-Elon matchup down in Burlington on Saturday? And then also, you mentioned all those great games happening in the state of North Carolina this weekend, ACC matchups going on there. Give me an upset that you think might occur this weekend as well.
Well, I guess, you know, we'll stay close to home here. It, on paper, rankings-wise, it would be an upset if App State beats Elon as far as number 7 versus number 6, but I think I think you should expect it. I mentioned Oklahoma State versus Texas earlier in the interview. I kind of liken Elon to Oklahoma State. A lot of talent, a lot of high-flying offense, but they haven't been there before. And I think until you've been under the bright lights, you're not really ready for it. And I'm going to just go ahead and say App 31, Elon 27. Appalachian's just been there. They know how to win games, and they're going to win on Saturday.
You'll find no argument from the two of us.
That's for sure. All right, thank you so much, Mr. Cheek, writer and blogger from Southern Pigskin. Thanks for being on the show.
I really appreciate it, guys. Check us out anytime.
No problem. Thanks, Stephen. Stephen Cheek, writer, blogger for SouthernPigskin.com. You can find his work on the Old North State blog on SouthernPigskin.com. And Brandon, I agree with you. It's one of those things where if you want to be the best, you got to put up. You got to shut up or put up. And I think Elon, if they want to claim that they're the best team in this conference, you got to beat ASU first.
This is their chance.
And I don't see it happening, because there's just no precedent for it beforehand.
Well, and you know what? A lot of teams can kind of get by, because when we looked at you can't look too far under this, because we looked at McNeese State when they came to the Rock early on in the season. ASU always has that home atmosphere. This is the season opener. They hadn't lost the season opener in like over 25 years or something. McNeese State was young. They had a terrible defense. They hadn't played anybody big. They were able to come in, beat ASU at the Rock, so you can't take that for granted. But overall, if you look at the whole scheme of things, Elon really hasn't played a superior competition. ASU definitely has the strength of the schedule. And you know what? Both these teams have momentum. Elon's won 6 straight, App's won 7 straight, but I think App just has the pedigree. They have that team that knows when the game's at its highest stage, they step up. And they did against Wofford last year. They did it against Elon, really, too, last year. They did it against Georgia Southern and Furman, who I thought were the two toughest games to date so far. And really, they did it against Chattanooga as well so far this year. So they know how to step up when the stage is the brightest, and I think they're going to do it again on Saturday.
I do think so, too. I think it might turn into a bit of a shootout. I mean, ASU's defense has shown a propensity to give up some big plays. I see this one going like...
And Elon's did, too. I mean, they gave up 14 points to a Western team early on.
I see this one going like 44, like 36, something ridiculous. It's going to be a higher scoring game for ASU and Elon. What's being called the de facto Southern Conference Championship game Saturday down in Burlington. A large contingency of ASU fans will be making the short trip.
It's probably going to be the biggest game in Elon football history.
It will. Steve Cheek said that himself. I do agree with that one. We got to take a break. More sports out the wazoo coming back. We're going to be talking some NFL. Our Panthers, we all picked them to beat the Saints. They were in position.
It's disappointing.
Huge meltdown. We'll talk about that one coming up. Also, some other great games of interest. The Colts, another undefeated team, barely escaping the jaws of defeat on Sunday as well. Lots of more sports to get into. Sports out the wazoo is coming right back on 90.5 WASU FM, online at WASURocks.com.